HAP, or Health Access Plan, a program to, in theory, get more than 80,000 uninsured residents better access to some kind of comprehensive health care plan. This utopian idea sounds great on paper, but paying for it is a whole other thing. The mayor believes health care for the city's uninsured will cost about $200 million a year, $104 million of it coming from city funds already used to provide care to the uninsured, along with $38 million in contributions by city businesses, and then the remainder from member premiums, quote-unquote. But Newsom's plan is voluntary, so workers are not required to sign up for it, and businesses are not required to help fund it, leaving some pretty big potential funding gaps and lots of questions about money, money, money. The Finance Committee for the Board of Supervisors now agreeing to take the mayor's plan and merge it with Supervisor Tom Amiano's earlier plan, requiring city businesses that employ uninsured workers to reimburse the city of San Francisco for health care costs to pay for the medical expenses of those workers. Well, now this has sparked a whole new round of debates. Chamber of Commerce and local businesses up in arms and certainly not in favor of this. And so the politics of health care churns forward down the corridors of City Hall. So on Tuesday of next week, the full Board of Supervisors is supposed to debate and possibly vote on this so-called new and improved mayor/supervisor compromise plan, which Supervisor Tom Amiano claims is one comprehensive health care plan. I'm not sure the mayor sees it that way, though.
Today's San Francisco in 60 from the Quakes, Ellen Hyatt, 6:58. Will and Willie are getting the show assembled. We'll join them in just a minute. They're here from 7 to 10. Our Quake News team special monitoring the media coming up. We'll check the weekend forecast next on the Quake.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-52- Go win. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-52-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-52-GO-WIN. Call now.
This summer can be a difference maker for your child.
My daughter struggled with her schoolwork. But what frightened me most was that she lost her self-image and confidence. After only a few sessions with her Learning Rx trainer, that confidence came back. After just 10 weeks, she'd also increased her grades in every class.
Learning Rx is number one in learning and reading gains. We can help your student achieve twice the gains in half the time at half the cost. A cognitive skills trainer will work one-on-one with your child this summer to dramatically enhance his or her core ability to learn. Stronger learning skills through LearningRx's fun, unique brain training produce enhanced performance, increased confidence, and a whole new set of abilities to overcome persistent learning problems. A few hours invested in training this summer can literally change the way your child learns and reads, both next year and forever.
Services are available in Walnut Creek, Pleasanton, and Fremont. For more information, call 925-416-1400.
Quake weather for this weekend. Fog-free beaches today and tomorrow. Fog comes back on Sunday. It's going to be mostly sunny, warmer inland too this weekend. 60s at the coast, 70s and 80s around the bay, and the 90s inland. That's the Progressive News Hour for this day. More news and downloadable audio 24/7 available at quakeradio.com. Keeping it real with Will and Willie coming up next after our Quake News Team special, Monitoring the Media. On San Francisco and the Bay Area's exclusive Progressive Talk Station, we're broadcasting in HD Digital. This is KQKE, Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose, 701 on 960 The Quake.
The following is a Quake News Team special, Monitoring the Media, a Bay Area report card on 960 The Quake.
We conclude our series on Bay Area Media News with a look at Bay Area Radio News. And let's start with KGO. 28 national and international news stories to 18 local stories in one recent drive time hour. Not as much crime as you see on local TV. In fact, only 3 crime stories in the whole hour we surveyed. There was an emphasis on breaking news. After all, radio has an ability TV does not as readily have to make news up to the second. But the breaking news stories KGO covered were fires, a little earthquake, and power outages. John McManus with GradeTheNews.org says you see this phenomenon in TV all the time, and radio is not immune.
We're seeing a lot of reporting that's episodic rather than thematic. The individual crime, not patterns in crime or causes or solutions.
Next up, all news, KCBS. KCBS has more local stories and a higher story count, but they seem to follow up on stories better, doing a recent BART outage story over and over from many angles. On KCBS, there's not as much crime as you might see on TV. KCBS excels, like many radio formats, in breaking news. But it's more par for the course, stories with little time or perhaps resources to dig much deeper. But the challenge for radio news in general is maintaining its ability to be up to the second while being thoughtful, analytical, and looking for the bigger picture. News is strictly a business, after all, in the eyes of many who produce it, and McManus says the future of Bay Area news is really up to you.
If the public knew just how manipulated much of the news is for the sake of profit and realized how little they know about so many important things, that there'd be an outrage, there'd be a groundswell, and there might be the kind of support that would make the best news the most profitable.
You can hear our special series on Bay Area News at 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. on 960 The Quake, or find them online at quakeradio.com.
Is your child having trouble focusing, staying on track, or paying attention? Can he play hours of video games but not complete a page of homework? At the Attention and Achievement Center, conditions including ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, auditory processing, learning and mood disorders are treated, and all without medication. Summer is the perfect time to get your child the right kind of help and better prepared for life. The center's approach is completely safe, fun, and effective with documented, proven results. With a great team of highly qualified experts, including neurologists, psychologists, speech and language pathologists, among others, they have been helping people for over 14 years with effective, proven results. Services are available in Walnut Creek, Pleasanton, and Fremont. For more information, call 925-280-9100 or visit their website at drugfreeadd.com. That's 925-280-9100 or drugfreeadd.com. And don't let another summer go to waste.
Hurry into Mattress Discounters today, where you'll always find quality brands like Sealy Posturepedic, Simmons Beautyrest, Tempur-Pedic pressure-relieving Swedish mattresses, and the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort at everyday low prices. Plus, on approved credit, you'll get free financing for a year with no down payment, no monthly payments, and no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters. Quality brands, discount prices.
Have a good night's sleep.
Time for Quake Traffic from the Crown 4 Traffic Center and the Crown 4 Morning News.
Good morning. It's 7:05. I'm John Scott, and this report brought to us by Chevy's. Here's what's happening in the Bay Area. Sunnyvale, ramp closed still. 101 southbound getting on to eastbound 237. In the next few minutes, hopefully, they'll get that big rig pulled out of there. It took the curve a little bit tight, and that big rig tanker was in danger of tipping over for a while. Metering lights are on now at the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza, back up to Grand Avenue. Upper deck okay, but busy coming into San Francisco. CHP's trying to find a crash. Looks like a car was apparently went off the roadway into the ditch on 101 southbound before the golf course off-ramp there. And maybe it's there, and they say, well, maybe it's not. 101 northbound before Kehoe. Car drove into the bushes on the shoulder. CHP did find that. And traffic is a little slow past there, and then it picks up. BART has all their glitches fixed. The system is on time this hour. Chevy's has the queue. Taste Chevy's new Blazin' Mesquite barbecue dishes, including the Grande Grilled Crisp, with layers of crispy flour tortillas filled with black beans, jalapeno jack, and smoky mesquite grilled chicken. It's $8.99 for a limited time at Chevy's Viva La Fiesta. We'll check headlines at the bottom of the hour. Now, keeping it real with Will and Willie on San Francisco and the Bay Area's progressive talk station. We're 960 The Quake.
Good morning, and welcome to Friday, although it seems like Wednesday, and it's probably a Thursday for some people, but for most of us, it's Friday, and we're here keeping it real with Will and Willie. It's a great morning. We are not at the Hotel Vitale. However, we are at the studio here on 4th and Townsend. We're keeping it real in a different section of town. And here is the lovely former mayor of the city of San Francisco. You don't say the old mayor.
you have to say the former mayor of San Francisco.
No, you can't say the old mayor.
I can't.
Then you'd be talking about Eugene Smith or something like that.
Sonny Rolfe.
Yes, Sonny Jim Rolfe, the one of those fellows. You wouldn't be talking about. You wouldn't be talking about the dude that you occasionally see hanging out on the streets and doing wonderful things in this extraordinary city.
This extraordinary city. What were you hanging out in the streets doing last night?
I was trying to find out where we were going to broadcast from, since this seems to be a challenge now. Every day there's another...
Studio roulette.
Yes, no kidding. I got this call this morning from Paul, the producer, saying, hey, I don't know where you are, but don't go there. What are you talking about, don't go there? The place has been declared off limits, that you got to go to the studio. Now, well, get into the studio is like trying to get into the Pentagon. I absolutely have no, I don't know what I did with my credentials, and clearly the door people have no fix on whether or not I'm a regular or not a regular. And so, you go through some conniptions.
Irregular.
Yes, yes. And as you said, they took your parking spot.
Yes.
I mean, you're talking about wondering how long we're going to last. This makes you a bit nervous.
I hope Michael Savage doesn't come in his studio because
you have his spot, do you not?
Yeah, I have his
spot. I saw him on the streets, and I almost gave you up.
Oh, no.
No, I didn't.
Buddy,
no. I didn't. I was really cool. Michael, you're parking on a spot where if any little cooties are still there when you get there, your theory is going to be in real trouble.
I had a snail in my garage today.
That's amazing.
There was a snail in my garage. I don't know how the hell he got in my garage.
Do you realize how many things, though, that since yesterday, has happened in this extraordinary world? First and foremost, what's going on in North Korea is beginning to be kind of funny. The Japanese, who apparently must be the second highest trader with the North Koreans, the Chinese, who got to be somewhere up there near the top, and the South Koreans are all saying, hey, we're a little bit mad at these cats, but there's some other areas of interest we must look at. And then the Russians are even worse. Russians are saying, hey, they got the right to fire the stuff. We don't think they ought to do it, but they do have the right as a sovereign nation. And all of a sudden, in the UN, the issue is not as joined as it really formerly was. And then, of course, New Jersey, the casinos. I got your word. The casinos are back in business. By the close of business today, an agreement is reached between the Speaker and the Governor and the President pro tem of the Senate, and the state of New Jersey is going to be back online. I mean, things are just unfolding internationally, and we got all those things we can talk about
locally.
Sometimes today. And then locally, of course, Hillary Clinton is right up the street at the St. Regis Hotel. Yes, she's here at having a breakfast for Phil Angelides to raise some money.
Oh, that's a breakfast? I thought it was a dinner tonight.
Yes, yes. I had a little bit of a drink last night with Barbara Boxer, and Senator Boxer, who, incidentally, has moved to Oakland. She's left Marin County and bought a space in Oakland. That Dellums is already attracting.
hasn't even taken office yet.
That's right. He hasn't taken office yet, and he's already getting luminaries moving to Oakland. She and her husband, Stuart, told me last night that they have relocated to Oakland. And I teased her. I said, because that must be an exodus, because about a year ago, Blanche moved to Oakland. My place in which to reside. Maybe Hillary.
Maybe look at Oakland.
Yeah, but
let me think.
Hillary might look to Oakland. But Hillary is there, so it's going to be up at the St. Regis.
So it's going to be a fundraiser for Phil.
Major luminaries, Democratic luminaries.
How much for the bacon?
I have no idea. I did not ask that question as I floated by there this morning, hoping to get a sight in and maybe grab one of them and drag them down.
That would have been great.
But I was unable to do that. So all those things are happening, which makes this Friday extraordinary. And then, obviously, on the air, Mike Isikoff is coming on board, as usual, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about what is going down. And then, of course, the telephones ought to ring today, Will, because the state of New York, in its highest court, gave the ruling we referred to yesterday on same-sex marriages, but they were worse than that. They actually did a 17-page opinion and the opinion reads like George Bush wrote it.
Yeah, they call it a preference rather than orientation.
Preference rather than orientation. And they said the reasons why the ban was in place to begin with is because everybody knows it's better for a biological mother and a biological father to be in charge of the children.
It's all about the kids.
That can you imagine any time in this day and age, although there was a great opinion written by Justice Kaye.
Yeah, the two dissenting opinions, it was 4-2 decision. The two dissents were by females.
By females. But not only that, one was the chief judge. She's the chief justice of that court of appeal, which is the highest court in New York. And she was just outraged at what she considered to be the lunacy of her colleagues. She referred to the backward steps. She talked about how marriages between people of different races obviously would not be acceptable to this crowd based upon the kind of reasonings that they offered. She talked about how traditions, and I loved her comment about traditions, which is what I've held a long time. When people tell me, that's not the traditional way we do things, of course not. It isn't the traditional way. Until Lincoln said it was okay for me to run for office, it wasn't the traditional way in which things are done.
You're burning your meat over fire. That is not tradition. We eat it raw here.
Get it right. Yeah. And so she really went after them, and she did like a 27-page dissenting opinion. That's 10 pages more than the people who... But she intended to educate, yes, in her opinion. But it is not a good day, for advocates of same-sex marriages in this country, because on the same day... Although overshadowed by the New York decision.
But it's Georgia.
It's Georgia.
Georgia what did you
said.
Expect?
Well, but, you know, it's just terrible to have all this happen on the same day.
I don't know if you remember the comic Jim Samuels. He had a great line about Atlanta. He said, Atlanta is a world-class city. The hell is it doing in Georgia? It's Georgia.
I said I was a world-class guy. What was I doing in Mineola?
You got the hell out. But you're right. It's the fact that it's the state of New York. And you would expect New York to be the bellwether state, to be the vanguard, to move us forward into the future.
But there's one really lovely item today on all the news stations all over the country.
Not the casinos in New Jersey, really?
No. Tom DeLay is still on the ballot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He can't get off the ballot. And he's hoisting his own petard because he stayed on the ballot in order to defeat the guys who were trying to... In the Republican Party, trying to take his spot because he didn't want them to be the nominees. So he figured after the primary, if he resigned after the primary, then the state Republican Party could appoint his successor. And now, I think it was the Texas Supreme Court federal judge said, no. Yeah, you were the nominee. You're going to stay on the ballot. You haven't moved.
A Bush-appointed judge. Not a Clinton-appointed judge, but a Bush, old man Bush, appointed this person to the court. And this person said, hey, the state laws of Texas is very clear. You can't have somebody win in the primary, and because the party thinks you got a better shot, you switch horses. This is not like a football game where you take the
substitutions,
No, you take the star quarterback out, and you put somebody else in just on your own whelm. You cannot
get
do that.
Butt kicked. Yeah.
That's right. And they said there's even a law in the state of Texas against that. Now, DeLay has gotten caught. In addition to being hoisted on his own petard, he sent his letter of resignation to be edited and agreed upon by the Republican chair of the state of Texas as he attempted to perfect his residency in the state of Virginia. In the condominium in which he's lived since he's been a member of Congress, he moved his address and his driver's license to that condominium. But he never left Sugar Land. He never left Texas. He didn't take any clothes any different than he normally does. He didn't do anything any differently. And they got him. And I hope he stays on the ballot because all of a sudden...
Nick Lampson looks like a winner.
That's right. Democrats who lost in San Diego could be winning in Texas, which will wash out the difference. This could be a great day.
It could be a great day for the state of Texas.
Democrats. We're talking about a totally different district here. We're talking, we got a great show lined up. We got Peter Lawford's coming in. We got Michael Isikoff's going to join us. We got the Representative George Miller going to be here. All here on Keeping It Real with Will and Willie on 960 The Quake. Working Assets Wireless is the only wireless company supporting the ACLU's lawsuit against illegal wiretapping. You there, at the keyboard. This is Will.
And I'm Willie, asking you, does your wireless carrier donate 1% of your bill to progressive causes? They support progressive causes like the ACLU, the Sierra Club, and Planned Parenthood.
Go to workingassets.com/quake. Sign up today. Working Assets Wireless. Change the world on the go.
Dreaming about driving a BMW? Whether it's your first BMW or you're ready to take your current BMW to the next level, BMW Concord is the only place where you'll find a great experience through every stage of ownership. What you want is their first priority. That's why their clients are repeat clients. To receive $500 off your next BMW or to make an appointment with one of their helpful client advisors, call BMW Concord today at 888-SO-GET-MY-BMW or go to streamingbmw.com.
Predictability leads to normalcy. Normalcy is too predictable.
Step outside the norm at El Palazzo. Tacos, burritos, salads, and catering for any event with a healthy helping of attitude. Amigo. El Palazzo, where the drinks are rocking and the nightlife is...
Eggman, and call me Sally.
Hot. Submitted for your approval.
7 nights a week. Anything goes.
Or cater it.
Thank you. You've been a great audience.
El Palazzo. Come on down to El Palazzo off of 580 in Hopyard or online at elpalazzo.net.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest 5-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-52-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-52-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-52-GO-WIN. Call now.
Join KKSF this summer at the East Bay Regional Park District's Fresh Tracks Hiking Program. Every third Saturday through September, KKSF and the Park District will host a leisurely hike in an East Bay park, followed up by a Wendy Vineyards catered lunch and live KKSF jazz performance. To find out more on this great program, visit ebparks.org.
Andy. Owning a BMW is the ultimate driving experience, and buying one is too at BMW Concord. At BMW Concord, there's no pressure to buy, only great experience and great deals. Our client advisors will listen to what you want and help you find it. With the largest selection of BMWs in the Bay Area, BMW Concord makes buying your next BMW a breeze. If we don't have the BMW of your dreams, we'll find it for you. For $500 off any new BMW, call 888-SO-GET-MY-BMW or go to streamingbmw.com.
Roads, weekdays from 4 to 8. Now back to Keeping It Real with Will and Willie on 960 The Quake.
Yeah, you are back, and we are telling you what's going on. Although you should listen to Randy Rhodes on 960 The Quake. She's a lot of fun. She gets into your face. She is not a shy flower. And speaking of shy flowers, we have another not-shy flower on our show in order to double up on our negatives. Mr. Peter Lawford is the author of Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq. Welcome to the Will and Willie Show, man.
Hey, it's great to be here. Good morning, Will and Willie.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good, good. So you know Will Durst from some other place, right?
In the interest of full disclosure, Peter is the man who put together the Mother Jones Radio Hour. And on which you hear here on The Quake as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And your presence there, Will Durst, always brightens up the show.
Ah, always have a wonderful time on that show. Now, you have this book, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq, are these soldiers who have been there?
These are soldiers who have been to Iraq, have fought in Iraq, have come back and have faced redeployment to Iraq and have said, no, I'm not going. These are soldiers who have come back and have been mustered out and have said, this war is wrong, I'm working against it. These are soldiers who have been about to be deployed and have said, no, this is wrong, I'm not going to go. These are soldiers who are conscientious objectors now, who have gone to Canada and have deserted, who are AWOL in this country. I travel around the U.S.,
really?
Up into Canada,
it's
over
like
to
Vietnam.
Germany, where soldiers are in transit, and found these soldiers that are profiled in the book. I think it's extraordinarily important to talk to these soldiers because, say, if the two of you and I are opposed to this war, and even if we have a podium like this radio station and talk against the war, there is a very different type of credibility that comes from someone who volunteered for the service and engaged the system in that manner, saw combat, was wounded, awarded medals, and stands up and says, this is wrong. These soldiers really are, you guys, I think, in the front line of a war that we have going on right now for the morality of our country, for the soul of our country. And they are heroes of a different type and need to be showcased. They need to be applauded. They need to be supported.
Are any of them being prosecuted?
Absolutely. And often, Willie, the ones who are being prosecuted are the ones who, in many respects, are the boldest, the bravest, the most courageous. They're not just saying no to this war. They're not just standing up to the monolith of the U.S. government and the U.S. military. They're showcasing themselves, and they're saying, this is why I'm doing it. They're making a very public spectacle as an anti-war movement and as an anti-war statement. And it seems as if, as best we can quantify it, that the government and the military is slapping the hands of those who do it quietly and really coming down hard on those who are making a public case, such as Lieutenant Wataba.
Peter Laufer is our guest. He's the author of Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq. And the foreword's by Norman Solomon. Available at Chelsea Green. And you can go to chelseagreen.com. He's joining us here on Keeping It Real with Will and Willie in 960 The Quake.
What's the highest-ranked officer or highest-ranked soldier that you have had an occasion to include in this book?
Well, in fact, the highest-ranked soldier who has come out against the war now is the lieutenant up at Fort Lewis in Washington, Lieutenant Watada. And his case has occurred since the book's been published. The book
Watada
came out.
Sounds Japanese.
Watada is from Hawaii.
Why?
And Watada was, charges were finally levied against Watada yesterday. And they include charges that that the lawyers for the lieutenant are shocked to hear about, conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman. He's facing not being deployed, not showing up with his unit. I don't have the exact terminology that the Uniform Code of Military Justice uses, but in addition, this rather bizarre conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman, charges that have not been used for years. He faces 4 years in prison. He and his lawyers say that they're pleased for this array of charges because it helps elevate the profile of the case, and they're going to be able to better use it as an anti-war statement.
Now, Peter, all of these persons who've been so exposed and are taking the extraordinary, courageous step that you describe in your book, are they being processed pursuant to the Code of Military Justice? Are they being processed under the tribunals that have now been outlawed by the U.S. Supreme Court?
No. These are all, if they are in the service and they are being prosecuted by the military, then it's via the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Those who are in Canada face a very different kind of circumstance. They have gone up to Canada and have requested refugee status from the Canadian government. Circumstances are much different than they were during the Vietnam era when 50,000, 60,000 Americans relocated to Canada, draft dodgers and deserters, and they were embraced by Canada. Canada's not doing that this time around, and in fact, all of the cases that have been adjudicated in Canada so far have been thumbs down. The Refugee Board has said no to all of them. They are on appeal now to federal courts in Canada. There's nothing to indicate that they will be allowed to stay. They well could be deported, and of course, as you know, in the last few months, the Canadian government has changed and moved further to the right and moved further into the Bush camp. So whether or not that's going to affect the Canadian courts this quickly, who knows. But there is no guarantee that those who are up in Canada will be allowed to stay in Canada.
During the time that you interviewed many of these persons who are in the category that you've described, were the questions asked, or was there a discussion about the reflections of colleagues who are still in Iraq, if these are people who have been to Iraq and refused to be deployed a second time to Iraq? Were there any discussions about things of that nature?
Yeah, absolutely, Willie. I mean, one of the things that I heard over and over again from the soldiers that I talked to who had been in the service and had been in Iraq or were about to be deployed to Iraq, one of the most difficult things they expressed was not being with their buddies and a feeling that their loyalty was not to Bush administration policy. Their loyalty was no longer to the military, but they felt a real sense of loyalty to those that they were not any longer with, that they had, as some of them said, grown up with in basic training. And yet they said they felt that they wished those soldiers could be with them, underground or in Canada, not that they wanted to be over there in Iraq. I found these to be, there's a lot of talk, aren't these guys cowards? What's going on here? They volunteered for the army.
They just fear being killed.
Do they just fear being killed? Well, I'm sure that there is a fear of being killed, but what I saw there was a concerted, rapid education process going on, a politicization where these soldiers often went in because, as they would say, they had the choice of flipping hamburgers at McDonald's or joining the army, undereducated, desperate for health care and an income, and naive, many of them, not knowing where Iraq was, not realizing that on some level, no matter what a recruiting sergeant says to you, if you sign up for the army, then you are susceptible to being told what to do. There, well, you laugh, and you, as well you should, Will. But you know, it's interesting that when a recruiting sergeant tells you, "How about thousands of dollars signing bonus? How about my guarantee that you will not be in a war zone? That you'll be taught how to build bridges or some other constructive trade that could transfer
to
civilian life?"
That's an old joke. You know, I joined the army because I was tired of people telling me what to do. We'll be back with Peter Laufer. We have some news. There is no news at the bottom of the hour. And I want to find out about the stop-loss thing and some of the recruitment, some of the things that they've been told that didn't actually happen. Well, you're keeping it real with Will and Willie here on 960 The Quake.
Good morning. It's 7:30 on 960 The Quake. I'm John Scott. A little bit of news coming up. Let's check traffic first in the Cron 4 Traffic Center. Brought to us by Sleep Train this time around. Here's what's happening in the Bay Area. Upper deck of the Bay Bridge moving okay into San Francisco. Metering lights are on. The backups are about normal for this time. If you're a regular commuter, you know where you're slowing down at. Sig alert still in effect on Sunnyvale. The 101 southbound ramp to eastbound 237. They thought they'd have it all cleaned up by 7 o'clock, but not yet. They're awaiting assistance to move this trailer big rig that was in danger of tipping over. Use Matilda to get around it instead. Hurry into Sleep Train today and save up to $400 on select Sealy Posturepedic and Simmons Beauty Rest mattress sets. Plus, on approved credit, you'll sleep free for a year with 12 months free financing. Sleep Train, your ticket to a better night's sleep. Remember, you can check real-time local traffic anytime. Visit QuakeRadio.com. 7:31. Here's what's happening on 960 The Quake. Senator Hillary Clinton doing a brief press event about 9-ish with Barbara Boxer, Gavin Newsom, and Phil Angelides, the Democratic nominee for governor. There's a fundraiser tonight for Angelides at the St. Regis Hotel by invitation only. Carolyn Wilson, a former employee of the Oakland Housing Authority, was wanted for allegedly taking bribes in exchange for placing folks in public housing. She's now in custody in New Orleans. Meanwhile, more than 30 families who were placed after paying those bribes are looking at eviction from the Oakland Housing Authority. A historic cattle ranch located along Santa Clara County's remote eastern edges will become a state wildlife preserve under a deal struck with the Nature Conservancy. They've purchased nearly 3,000 acres of property in a real pretty area near Mount Hamilton and I-5, known as the San Antonio Valley. This weekend, the World Cup Final, France and Italy, Sunday in Berlin, kick off at 11 a.m. our time. If you'd like to celebrate, North Beach will be the place to be, win or lose, Sunday afternoon. Quake weather, fog-free on the coast today and tomorrow, so says the Weather Service. Fog back on Sunday, but warm inland this weekend. 60s coast, 70s, 80s around the bay, 90s inland. Keeping it real with Will and Willie continues. I'm John Scott on 960.
Hurry into Mattress Discounters today, where you'll always find quality brands like Sealy Posturepedic, Simmons Beauty Rest, Tempur-Pedic Pressure Relieving Swedish mattresses and the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort at everyday low prices. Plus, on approved credit, you'll get free financing for a year with no down payment, no monthly payments, and no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands, discount prices.
Have a good night's sleep for less. Mattress Discounters.
It's the ultimate summer escape.
Live like the rich and famous.
You and nine of your friends in the beautiful foothills of Northern California
on board a luxury houseboat.
This deluxe forever houseboat features a 500-square-foot deck
and a water slide.
Who is this guy?
I'm just a cheesy impersonation.
Winners also get a $200 grocery gift card and money for gas.
It's the perfect escape.
Click on the banner on your screen now or log on to winasummergetaway.com.
Live like the rich and famous.
Courtesy of Forever Houseboats.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-52-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-52-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-52-GO-WIN. Call now.
Let's eat light today. I wish there was a place to get a sensational salad.
Oh, hey, I know. Togo's has some great salads. You know, my friend Steve said he got the best salad he has ever eaten at Togo's.
Togo's is now serving our new sensational salads. Try our new Cobb salad, Mediterranean tuna, or my favorite, the Santa Fe chicken. Roasted chicken, black bean and corn salsa, diced avocado, and cheddar cheese, all topped with chili lime tortilla strips. Try one today.
Well, what are we waiting for? I want a Togo's sensational salad.
Togo's it is.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-52-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-52-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-52-GO-WIN. Call now.
Report.
I'm not sure that there is a specific plan to squeeze the middle class.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
I think there may be certainly some people who would like to specifically squeeze the middle class. But certainly, and what is indisputable, is that Republican policies act at the detriment of the middle class. It's a complete disregard for the middle class which drives these policies.
The Majority Report, weeknights starting at 8 on 960 The Quake.
Hi, I'm Bill Press. I usually hang out in Washington, but when I'm in the Bay Area, I listen to Keeping It Real with Will and Willie on 960 The Quake.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth.
Yes, that's John Lennon speaking of George Bush, who was prescient even back then. We're Keeping It Real with Will and Willie here on 960 The Quake. Our guest is Peter Laufer. Is the author, Peter Laufer, is the author of Mission Rejected. It's about how soldiers are saying no to Iraq. Are most of them saying no because they've been deployed a second time, they've been over there? Is this part of the whole stop-loss thing?
It really can't be quantified that way, I don't think. Well, it's across the board. They're saying no because they are opposed to policy. They're saying no because of what they've witnessed on the ground over there. They're saying no because of what they've experienced and done. They're saying no before they're sent over because what they're hearing from their colleagues who are coming back from over there. They're saying no because they're being educated here in this country and realizing that the policy is wrong and they're deciding not to go.
In your book, how many individual interviews do you actually profile?
I profile a half a dozen in detail, trying to get a representative sampling, Willie, of the types who are saying no, who are rejecting this policy. But there are dozens who are referred to in the book, both those with high profiles and those that we haven't heard of before, because it's important, I think, to realize, again, we can't know how many are opposed, because those who are doing it quietly, or those who are even serving out their duty and are opposed to the strategy and the policy, are not necessarily coming forward. There just simply is no way of knowing how many are opposed to this.
There's such a recruitment problem. I would think that they would be not telling the truth at all the time, you know, especially to the kids who are coming in. I mean, these are like 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, you know. There's probably stuff that they're telling them that isn't true.
Oh, there's absolutely no question about that. And there have been some very public busts of recruiting sergeants who have been lying. But there's one thing that's in the contract that I want to read this line to you guys from the book, and that is this. The promises are made. As I said earlier, you'll learn how to build bridges, or you won't go to Iraq, or you won't see combat. And then this multi-page document is signed by the recruit, and in there is the line, "Laws and regulations that govern military personnel may change without notice to me. Such changes may affect my status, pay, allowances, benefits, and responsibilities as a member of the armed forces." And then this final line,
status,
regardless of the provisions of this enlistment, re-enlistment document.
Sounds like
my prenup.
Well, that's it. It means what you
absolutely
sign means nothing. Exactly, Willie.
Peter,
and it's tragic. It's tragic. You've got a 17-year-old kid signing this with often a parent signing the authorization in English, and the parent doesn't read, write, or speak English.
Oh, that's amazing. Peter, how did you come up on this story?
Well, I've been around this kind of story since my own days as a Vietnam War resistor, so it touches my heart. I have been looking since, I'm sure you guys have, since the invasion of Iraq, at ways that I can speak out and try to move policy against this immoral, illegal, ghastly war that's going on. And I started to hear about
How do you feel?
Hey, I started to hear these isolated incidents of soldiers opposed to the war, and saw that there was no compendium. And there is a critical mass building. I think it's extraordinarily important to spotlight these heroes.
Peter, there appears to be somebody on the telephone.
Yeah, we got a caller on line one. Adam from Mountain View, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question for Peter Laufer?
Oh, no, no. First of all, I agree what he's doing, but what the article is being charged with unbecoming is Article 135, and under the use of Uniform Code of Military Justice, that's a catch-all. If you caught sneezing, walking by somebody, they can get you on that charge. So it's a catch-all. They can invent things and just change it around. It's not written in stone. The Article 135 is something they play with. They can just, you really can't defend because it's not written down.
So it's just conduct unbecoming, and it can be stretched to fit anything that they don't like.
Anything. If you're, let's say you're marching in formation for, a change of command ceremony, and you sneeze, you manage it. It's involuntary. They can get you for a 135.
Adam, are you a veteran?
Yes.
I'm 71
in the Marine Corps.
Marine Corps. And did you put in any time in Iraq?
No, not... No, I was in 79 I did get deployed for the first Gulf War.
But
I served honorably for 4 years in the Marine Corps. And those articles, that's the catch-all. They just get you for whoever they want. And for desertion, for the Articles of Missing the Movement is Article 192. But what they do is, if you're supposed to be someplace, like you say, you're supposed to be in Iraq, and you don't go, for the first 3 days, it's your UA, unauthorized absence, AWOL, your Article 86, but if after 31 days, you're not there, you're a deserter. Even though you're in the United States, you're on post, you're supposed to be in Iraq, they can get you for deserter status after 31 days.
So I don't want to get into your business, but how are you so intimately familiar with the provisions and the sections of the Uniform Code of Military Justice?
Well, when you're at sea, there's nothing to do but read.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, Adam.
All right, Adam.
Our guest is Peter Laufer, the author of Mission Rejected, the soldiers who are saying no to Vietnam.
And the caller was referring to the case now, the charges that are levied against Lieutenant Watada up at Fort Lewis in Washington.
Conduct unbecoming an officer.
Along with missing the deployment.
Peter, in your profiling, you talked about the various diverse reasons why that would be displayed in this book. If you go back and reflect upon all the people you interviewed, many of whom you did in fact profile, and others you just mentioned as part of the team, would it be safe to say that this book is more about people who have been deployed and are refusing any further service, or is it people like yourself, as you describe it, who rejected the war at the outset?
No, I think that the bulk of the stories, and certainly the poignant stories, the heartbreaking stories, are those of soldiers who joined the military because they believed in the military, and then slowly started to realize that the policy was wrong and the military was being misused. Some of the soldiers I talked to, in fact, continue to talk about their love affair with the military and how important it is to their life, and how wrong they feel by the administration. The stories that are really heartbreaking are those that come out of the Iraq experience, stories of soldiers who have been over and served honorably, been wounded, been decorated, and then have come to realize that the policy is wrong, and when they are about to be redeployed, refuse to go or file for conscientious objector status. Just because after they have been there, just because we have no draft does not mean that there is no potential for a CO. The rules have changed markedly, though, with the all-volunteer army. In order to prove conscientious objector status to the military, one has to show that after enlistment, an epiphany occurs, a change of consequence occurs. And so there are those who are able to draw from their experience what they've done, what they've witnessed in Iraq, and be able to make a case that the military accepts for conscientious objectors.
Are they alleging any sort of illegal activities over there, or just stuff that they never thought that would be humanly possible, that they would never be able to do?
Both. And certainly as we see these terrible events being charged, such as the rape and the murder and the massacre. These charges, these allegations that are so hard to comprehend that this would be perpetrated by U.S. soldiers. As I heard the stories of those who were over there, who told me what they'd done and what they'd witnessed, it made me begin to understand how it is that circumstances could move to the point where these kinds of outrages could occur.
And where can we get your book?
You can get my book at your favorite independent bookstore where you can support the non-chain environment that's so crucial to our business and our culture. And you can also get it at Borders and Barnes & Noble at Amazon.com and from Chelsea Green, the publisher. ChelseaGreen.com is that website.
And your radio show?
The radio show right here on the radio station that you guys are on Monday through Friday. You can enjoy, I hope, Washington Monthly on the radio, which comes on the weekend here.
See, excellent. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about this important issue.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Tubby.
And you, Willie.
All right.
Nice to see you again, Will.
We'll be back with Keep It Real with Will and Willie. My burst of durst will address Mr. Lay's demise, his recent demise. And that's a bunch of other stuff here in Keep It Real with Will and Willie. It's Friday. We're celebrating. I need some coffee.
This summer can be a difference maker for your child.
My daughter struggled with her schoolwork, but what frightened me most was that she lost her self-image and confidence. After only a few sessions with her Learning Rx trainer, that confidence came back. After just 10 weeks, she'd also increased her grades in every class.
Learning Rx is number one in learning and reading gains. We can help your student achieve twice the gains in half the time at half the cost. A cognitive skills trainer will work one-on-one with your child this summer to dramatically enhance his or her core ability to learn. Stronger learning skills through LearningRx's fun, unique brain training produce enhanced performance, increased confidence, and a whole new set of abilities to overcome persistent learning problems. A few hours invested in training this summer can literally change the way your child learns and reads, both next year and forever.
Services are available in Walnut Creek, Pleasanton, and Fremont. For more information, call 925-416-1400.
Is your child having trouble focusing, staying on track, or paying attention? Can he play hours of video games but not complete a page of homework? At the Attention and Achievement Center, conditions including ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, auditory processing, learning and mood disorders are treated, and all without medication. Summer is the perfect time to get your child the right kind of help and better prepared for life. The center's approach is completely safe, fun, and effective with documented, proven results. With a great team of highly qualified experts, including neurologists, psychologists, speech and language pathologists, among others, they have been helping people for over 14 years with effective, proven results. Services are available in Walnut Creek, Pleasanton, and Fremont. For more information, call 925-280-9100 or visit their website at drugfreeadd.com. That's 925-280-9100 or drugfreeadd.com. And don't let another summer go to waste.
Togo's new sensational salads. Try the new Santa Fe chicken salad. Roasted chicken, black bean and corn salsa, diced avocado, shredded cheddar cheese, all topped with chili lime tortilla strips. Or the new Mediterranean tuna salad. Albacore tuna tossed with roasted red pepper and black olive salsa on a bed of romaine and spring mix. Or even the new Cobb salad. Unique flavors and the freshest ingredients. Try a new Togo sensational salad today.
Working Assets Wireless is the only wireless company supporting the ACLU's lawsuit against illegal wiretapping. You there, at the keyboard, this is Will.
And I'm Willie, asking you, does your wireless carrier donate 1% of your bill to progressive causes? They support progressive causes like the ACLU, the Sierra Club, and Planned Parenthood.
Go to workingassets.com/quake. Sign up today. Working Assets Wireless. Change the world on the go.
Dreaming about driving a BMW? Whether it's your first BMW or you're ready to take your current BMW to the next level, BMW Concord is the only place where you'll find a great experience through every stage of ownership. What you want is their first priority. That's why their clients are repeat clients. To receive $500 off your next BMW or to make an appointment with one of their helpful client advisors, call BMW Concord today at 888-SO-GET-MY-BMW or go to StreamingBMW.com.
The appropriate way to channel your political rage. On the air and online, San Francisco's progressive talk station, 960 The Quake.
It's a burst of Durst. A daily commentary from Will Durst.
Yes, it is a daily commentary. And I'm going to comment.
And you think you should. But the burst of Durst always focuses the attention on whatever happens to be the policy of the day. And believe me, this one I want to hear. And I am, promise you, Will, I'm going to embrace it without knowing the content thereof. That shows you the confidence that I have in my partner.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
And now the burst of Durst.
So this is who we become. Hooting and hollering and mocking a man who died of a heart attack. Okay, purportedly dead of a heart attack. Either way, you know, we used to be a halfway decent society with manners. We gave people the benefit of the doubt, especially dead people, and we did not speak ill of them. I have to tell you, though, the general consensus following Kenneth Lay's death is not just that he got off easy. People are pissed that he slipped the hangman's knot. Not the actual knot, but there was a desire there to see him rot, to celebrate his application for parole year after year and have it denied. People wanted him kicked by fellow prisoners. They wanted him cleaning toilets and bending over for the soap, and now that he's not going to, we want proof. We want lab reports. We want to stick a needle under the fleshy folds of his neck just to make sure he doesn't flinch. To make certain he didn't pay one of his lackeys to drop a head from Madame Tussauds onto some anonymous body to fill the casket while he gets whisked away in a private helicopter to a secret desert isle to play golf with William Casey and Elvis. Of course, it could have been suicide. Some reports say his untimely death may have saved his family the $43.5 million judgment against him. I mean, we should check the family's travel history and see if anybody has recently been up the Amazon seeking out rare and traceless poisons. No, I'm sorry. That was inexcusable. It was. See, it's gotten to me, too. My prayers go out to his family with the same amount of concern that he exhibited for the families of his stockholders. And that's your burst of Durst for today. It's a civilized burst. In an uncivilized world.
The applause was appropriately due. I do think that in perpetuity now, Americans will be somewhat concerned that Mr. DeLay took the easy... Kenny Lay took the easy way out.
Lay and DeLay, yeah.
Any day now, it might be DeLay joining Kenny Lay.
One can only hope. Oh, that'll be Monday's burst of dirt.
But you know, your reference to the escape from the $43+ million of the judgment, that can't be leveled against his estate, I don't think. Unless it is a civil judgment already reduced to its finality before his death.
I don't think that he was actually finally convicted. Because
no, he's not.
You have to be sentenced.
Oh, no.
Right?
You have to be sentenced. And then if there is an appeal, there is some question about whether or not it's a final judgment until that appeal is totally processed. And if you expire, you expire before all of that happens. There has been no final adjudication of your issue. You're now left so that either the devil or the Lord or somebody in between will assume the responsibility for handling your matter. And can you see it now? Who would be the person representing Kenneth Lay in hell? I assume that that's where he's gone. Maybe it'll be some widow who died penniless because her 401k had been ripped off for another one of his corporate jets. And now she has arisen to the high level of being lent out from heaven as an objective roving
to go down
judge.
To hell. Like in the Wild West.
Yes.
Where you had one judge and he would wander around.
Was
the
on the
territory.
Circuit. Yeah. Was that's where the word circuit comes from.
Oh, really? Circuit judge.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Circuit judge. So she's on the circuit and her assignment now is one that will challenge her commitment because she has got to, you know, consider whether or not she has a bias or conflict based upon her previous
she
experience.
Can recuse herself.
I hope she has the good judgment to say, with all due respect and in the interest of full revelation, yes, I have a serious issue that he affected me, but believe me, now that I have ascended to heaven, I can rise above my own prejudices.
I
can rise above. That's the position I've always wanted to be in. When I would examine people for jury duty, I'd love them when they'd say to you, oh, yeah, I have a different view on the issue, but, you know, I can be objective. That's as far as you get with me. You're off that jury. I mean, go. And then I love the guys. I'm representing somebody on a drunk driving, and you get on there, and the guys, what'd you say? Oh, sure, I can listen. Good juror. Perfectly qualified juror. I mean,
I would always get out of jury duty just by telling the judge, I can tell if they're guilty just by looking at them.
And Tony Ryan just showed
Thank
up
you,
with
Tony
a
Ryan.
Cup of coffee. I don't see anything that looks like a cappuccino, though. But
I think he took you into account.
Here's a C for cappuccino. Liz.
That's the burst of Durst. Look what it produced.
Yes.
And believe me, people, we're here in the studio. I assume that we had a rental problem or something down at the Hotel Vitale.
Yes.
I don't know exactly what it was.
I think they were busy down there.
But we are not planned. We're not there.
It was either a function or a dysfunction. I can't remember. It was something happened.
My question to the world, though, is, will Bush show up at
for the funeral? Will he eulogize him? We will answer that. We might get your thoughts on that by calling 866-960-KQKE-5753. Next hour, we got a great lineup. Michael Isikoff. We might listen to George Bush's little speech to the nation. Here, a 960, The Quake.
Predictability leads to normalcy. Normalcy is too predictable.
Step outside the norm at El Palazzo. Tacos, burritos, salads, and catering for any event with a healthy helping of attitude. Amigo. El Palazzo, where the drinks are rocking and the nightlife is...
Segment, and call me Sally.
Hot. Submitted for your approval. 7 nights a week. Anything goes.
Or cater it.
Thank you. You've been a great audience.
El Palazzo. Come on down to El Palazzo off of 580 in Hopyard or online at elpalazzo.net.
2006 is the year of the quake. Keeping it real with Will and Willie coming up on San Francisco's exclusive progressive talk station, KQK.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. U.S. officials uncover a plot to blow up tunnels in New York. One person's in custody in Lebanon. Other suspects are being hunted. New York Senator Charles Schumer says this just shows that security funding for his city should not be cut back.
This once again shows that Homeland Security and Secretary Chertoff's view that New York shouldn't get funding and shouldn't get funding for personnel makes no sense whatsoever.
An FBI spokesman says there's no indication of any imminent threat to New York or anywhere else in the U.S. Britain paused to remember the 52 people killed in the terrorist bombings in London a year ago today. Correspondent Wayne Gray reports Britons, for the most part, have not let the attacks get them down.
It reminded people about how resilient the city can be. Now, keep in mind, this is a city that lived through devastating German attacks that people around still can remember, lived through an IRA terror campaign of bombings just a couple of decades ago. It reminded people that if they put their minds to it, that life is going to go on. It has to go on.
The Labor Department says 121,000 jobs were created in June. Correspondent Jane King reports Wall Street, however, was expecting more.
We expected somewhere around 185,000 jobs added in the U.S. last month, but the actual number came in lower, 121,000. The unemployment rate held steady at 4.6%. The tame number might mean a less aggressive Fed in raising interest rates.
Right now, stocks are lower. The Dow Industrial's down about 80 points. Oil prices hit a new high today, $75.78 a barrel. Have you checked the gas pump recently? An abrupt change in diplomacy regarding the North Korean missiles. Japan has dropped the threat of sanctions against North Korea from a new UN Security Council draft resolution. It was Japan that first called for a hard line against the North. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Good morning. It's 8:01 at 960 The Quake. It's John Scott in the newsroom. Keeping it real with Will and Willie will continue in just a moment. We want to take you to Chicago now. President Bush holding a news conference. He just began a couple of seconds ago. Mike Isikoff from Newsweek will join Will and Willie in just a moment. Let's listen in.
I'm looking forward to a tour of this museum after the press conference. I'm sure you're wondering why I would have a press conference in Chicago. It's a fabulous city. Plus, I'd like to see what it's like to have a major press conference outside of Washington. It might do me some good. Truth of the matter is, it might do the White House press corps some good as well. So I welcome the Chicago reporters here. Thank you for coming. I've had a fine dinner last night at the Chicago Firehouse and a good breakfast today at Lou Mitchell's. Really interesting sights here in Chicago, and it's a lot of fun going to them. I want to thank the gracious hospitality of the restaurateurs and the people of Chicago for welcoming me. I had some conversations with some of the business leaders last night and for breakfast, and there's a kind of interesting sense of optimism here in this part of the world. And the statistics bear that out. Chicago area businesses have added over more than 74,000 new jobs over the past 2 years. And that's positive. It's a good sign. Unemployment rate in this area is 4.3%. That's below the national average. People are working. People are able to find jobs. Illinois created more jobs than any other state in the month of April. So entrepreneurial spirit is strong here. One of the things I detected from the business leaders that there's a sense of optimism which encourages people to invest. And when you invest, you create the conditions for job growth. Major companies have announced plans to add even more jobs. This morning we got some good news. The nation added 121,000 new jobs for the month of June. That's over 5.4 million jobs since August of 2003. It's 34 months of job increases. First quarter, our economy grew at 5.6%. Productivity is high. People are better off. Things are working. And so the fundamental question we face in Washington is, how do we keep economic vitality alive? What do we do? What are the policies necessary to keep this growth strong? And one policy is to keep taxes low. If you raise taxes, you take money out of the pockets of small businesses and entrepreneurs, which makes it harder to increase employment. One of the reasons I'm here at this museum is because one way to make sure we continue to grow our economy is to have a workforce that's capable of filling the jobs of the 21st century. One of the subjects the mayor and I talked about last night was the No Child Left Behind Act and what the city of Chicago is doing to hold people to account and have high standards and offer different choices to parents here in Chicago through charter schools, for example. The mayor said something interesting. He said, reading scores are up. That's a good sign. It means people are measuring and teachers are teaching. And when you have the basics, the basic foundation for good education laid, then you focus on math and science. So the truth of the matter is we have to make sure our kids have got the math and science skills to fill the jobs of the 21st century. We live in a global economy, in an interconnected world. And if we can't provide the employees for the jobs of the 21st century, they're going to go somewhere else. So education is crucial to make sure we're a competitive and vibrant nation. Job training is really important. The Labor Department, working with the local folks here, have set up one-stop centers in Chicago to help connect workers with employers. We've got a good community college system here. Community colleges are really important to make sure that Workers are given the skills to fill the jobs which actually exist. And the Lakeland Community College system is a strong program. There's federal help and there's state help and there's local involvement. All aimed at making sure people have got the capacity to have the to fill the jobs. I mean, you got a growing economy like this. There's concern about by employers whether or not they're going to be able to find people to do the work. And education is the gateway to make sure that we remain a competitive economy. I also believe strongly that we've got to open up markets to goods produced here in Illinois, goods and services. In other words, one way to make sure this economy of ours grows is to reject protectionism and be confident in our capacity to trade. It's getting ready to go to the G8, and one of the topics there is going to be the Doha round of the WTO, which basically the commitment is that a world that trades freely is a world in which people are going to be able to find work here at home, and it means we have better capacity to be able to help lift nations out of poverty. We talked last night about immigration. I found it interesting that the people that were there with the mayor and me, you know, employers and Chamber of Commerce type people, I put immigration as one of the issues they want to talk about. I told them this. I said, first of all, I'll always remember that immigrants have helped shape the character of this nation. We are a land of immigrants.
A land of immigrants, but some are more equal than other immigrants.
Welcome back to Keeping It Real with Will and Willie. That, as you probably surmised, was the president of these United States of America speaking in Chicago.
It's amazing how after 6-plus years of holding the presidency, making thousands of speeches, he seems to be getting worse. Did you hear the stuff about education? He repeated about teachers are teaching.
Teachers are teaching. Yes, students are
preachers are preaching. What else they got to do, George, my boy? And then I love his constant reference to the fact that he obviously shook the hands of the mayor of the city. He said, hey, my conversation with the mayor, the two of us, you know, the mayor, after yesterday's conviction of four of his top folk, I mean, he's pleased to be talking to somebody who isn't wired.
We got Michael Isikoff, who is the chief investigative reporter for Newsweek magazine, making his weekly Friday phone call to us. He's in D.C. Michael, were you listening to any of that?
I was listening to the top of it, yeah. It was sort of standard presidential rhetoric on taxes and the economy, which, given how badly things are going on other fronts, you probably want to talk more about. Although I have to say, I was very interested in the, I guess it was His Honor that made the reference to the conviction yesterday involving the Chicago mayoral guys. That was a victory, by the way, for Patrick Fitzgerald.
A major victory for
Chicago, who, of course, has another big case coming up early next year with Scooter Libby, and Cheney's former chief of staff.
And all four people who were on trial were convicted.
Yeah. Fitzgerald has a pretty good track record. Remember George Ryan, the former Republican governor of Illinois, who was convicted just about a month or so, or a couple months ago, on all counts, every single corruption count. And now we got the aides to Democratic Mayor Daley getting convicted by this guy. So it's a pretty good track record.
Guys, almost like a throwback to the Untouchables.
Yeah, Elliot
Ness.
That's a phrase people have used about him, yeah.
Oh, yeah? They have, huh? I'm not the original. That's horrible. But I don't like to be just part of the crowd. That's got to shake confidence of Scooter just a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd think. But, look. I mean, everybody knows what the ultimate game plan is on that one. It's regardless of the, you know, fight in the trial, maybe get convicted, take your lumps, and then pardon. The real question is whether the bid for the pardon will come before the trial or after the trial. And I think a lot of that will depend on the results of the November election. If the president can get away with a Christmas Eve pardon this year because the Republicans maintain control of both houses of Congress, he may actually do it and spare the embarrassment of having the Vice President of the United States take the witness stand and have to testify about some of this stuff. We're talking about the Joe Wilson matter. But if the Democrats were to take control of either house of Congress, I think they're, you know, they could hold hearings on all this stuff, and that's not something that I think the president wants to, or the administration wants to have.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't think a pardon is in the air if the Democrats win. If they win in November, certainly it would prompt a serious consideration to some impeachment activities. If Mr. Bush pre-strack pardon Scooter Libby,
so you think the outcry would be so strong?
I wouldn't go that far because a presidential pardon is a presidential prerogative in the Constitution. You cannot construe a pardon as an impeachable offense unless it was part of a criminal conspiracy to cover something up to protect somebody, and you'd need strong evidence of that. But here's where the issue is. It would increase the likelihood, if the Democrats were in charge of either the House or the Senate, that they would hold hearings on, you know, what really happened in the Wilson matter. Because, you know, we only know narrow parts of it because it's been made public in the context of the Scooter Libby trial, but all the issues relating to, for instance, Karl Rove are off the table. They've never been made public, and there's no mechanism to make them public, although there is one mechanism that will be out in the fall, and that's the book I've been working on with my buddy David Korn on all this, and we'll have some stuff to say about it at the time.
Is there any possibility that the Rove matter could be reopened after the November elections if they go in favor of the Democrats in that?
Well, certainly, that's what I was saying. In hearings, it could. The Democrats could hold hearings, you know, with subpoena power and require testimony on all this. But they can't do it if, while a trial is pending, or it'd be hard to do as a trial is pending.
As your book is being completed, will there be any reference to the most recent decision by the Supreme Court with reference to how you handle terrorists who have been detained at Guantanamo Bay?
Well, the book is about Iraq, so it's not explicitly about those issues, although some of the larger issues of presidential power will be referenced. But that this Supreme Court decision is, I mean, the fallout from that is huge. It's larger than people realized at the time. One, you know, probably the most controversial finding of the court is that Common Article 3 of the Geneva Convention, which prohibits degrading and inhumane treatment of detainees, applies to the war on terror.
It upheld that, right?
Yes, the court explicitly said Common Article 3 applies. And what that means is, not just, this goes far beyond the military commissions issue. This goes to the core of how we, the United States government, has treated detainees across the board, all around the world, at Guantanamo and, you know, through extraordinary renditions and through aggressive interrogation techniques that we've in ghost prisons around the world. All of those are now arguably could be construed as grave breaches of the Geneva Convention, and there is an affirmative obligation of signatories to the Geneva Convention to prosecute grave breaches of the Geneva Convention. And what that means is that United States officials who participated in what other governments may find to be grave breaches of the Geneva Convention, you know, can be hounded as they travel around the world.
War crimes? Are we talking war crimes?
Committing war crimes, yeah. I mean, it's the same principle. Remember when Pinochet was arrested in London? I mean, it's the same principle.
So we could see the spectacle of Dick Cheney being hauled off to La Hague from Brussels?
Rumsfeld?
But, I mean, it is not beyond the realm of possibility now that the Supreme Court has...
I want to talk to you, Mr. Michael Isikoff, chief investigative reporter for Newsweek magazine. I want to talk to you about Joel Lieberman and his little attack from the left.
Yeah.
From Ned Lamont. We'll be back, and we're going to do a little of this and a little of that, and we'll be back with Keeping It Real with Will and Willie.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-52-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-52-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-52-GO-WIN. Call now.
Join KKSF this summer at the East Bay Regional Park District's Fresh Tracks Hiking Program. Every third Saturday through September, KKSF and the Park District will host a leisurely hike in an East Bay park, followed up by a Wente Vineyards catered lunch and live KKSF jazz performance. To find out more on this great program, visit ebparks.org.
Owning a BMW is the ultimate driving experience, and buying one is too at BMW Concord. At BMW Concord, there's no pressure to buy, only great experience and great deals. Our client advisors will listen to what you want and help you find it. With the largest selection of BMWs in the Bay Area, BMW Concord makes buying your next BMW a breeze. If we don't have the BMW of your dreams, we'll find it for you. For $500 off any new BMW, call 888-SO-GET-MY-BMW or go to StreamingBMW.com.
It's the ultimate summer escape. Live like the rich and famous. You and nine of your friends in the beautiful foothills of Northern California on board a luxury houseboat. This deluxe forever houseboat features a 500-square-foot deck and a water slide.
Who is this guy?
I'm just a cheesy impersonation.
Winners also get a $200 grocery gift card and money for gas.
It's the perfect escape.
Click on the banner on your screen now or log on to winasummergetaway.com.
Live like the rich and famous.
Courtesy of Forever Houseboats.
The San Jose Grand Prix, presented by Taylor Woodrow, July 28th through 30th. 3 days of festival fun and racing. Catch all the action of Northern California's most spectacular motorsports event. The San Jose Grand Prix has doubled its bridge capacity, improving the on-track viewing while creating a safer, smoother, wider track for more speed and passing. More bridges. More viewing. More passing. More fun. It's more than a race. The San Jose Grand Prix is sponsored by Taylor Woodrow Home and proudly supports the Canary Foundation. To buy your tickets now, call Ticketmaster or visit sjgp.com.
Searching for your dream home? Go to quakeradio.com, keyword real estate, to find some of the Bay Area's top real estate professionals like Century 21, Crystal Estates, Pacific Union, and many, many more. The best way to start your search is with keywords on quakeradio.com.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-52-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-52-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-52-GO-WIN. Call now. Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-52-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-52-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-52-GO-WIN. Call now.
Got a lot to worry about. This, you know, is a, you know, 6 months ago, this would have been inconceivable that he would have trouble in a Democratic primary. Now, he has said if he loses, he may run or intends to run as an independent. Now, think of the implications of that, because that would splinter the Democratic vote and endanger a Democratic seat in the Senate in an election where Democratic control of the Senate is crucial to all these issues we've just been talking about for people who want to see more accountability and more hearings of the Bush administration actions. So it's really an interesting race to watch.
It's always hard for those of us who seek public office to believe that we have to be ultimately controlled by the voters' results. We always assume that the voters didn't know what they were doing.
Pretty basic?
I know, but we get very upset when we know the voters would have done better if they had only understood.
Right.
And Lieberman is in that position. Hillary Clinton has already said that there is no way she bolts the Democratic Party
And
supports somebody else.
Right.
My guess is, and I think I said yesterday, almost every other Democrat is going to line up in the same fashion. They may not say anything at the moment, but on the 9th of August, they will be congratulating the winner, whether it's Lieberman or whether it's Lieberman's opponent, and the party will be going in there to save that seat out of the same basis of that you've just said.
Yeah, I noticed this morning on her blog, Arianna Huffington going after Barbara Boxer for going out to campaign for Lieberman, saying, what are you doing, Barbara Boxer, war opponent, supporting one of the biggest supporters, campaigning for one of the biggest supporters of the war in the United States Senate. And, you know, this is the inevitable tension between the purists and the pragmatists.
Well, Willie had a drink with Barbara Boxer last night. What did she say?
Had coffee with Barbara Boxer last night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Had coffee.
Yes.
That's a drink.
It is clear that friendships in the world of politics are, frankly, not respected by people like Ms. Huffington. She clearly would understand that long years of wonderful friendships between people can't just be cast aside so easily. And in this case, I think Senator Boxer is in that position. She really is a good friend of Joe Lieberman's.
Right.
She's been a good friend of Joe Lieberman's. She and Lieberman had a real confrontation when he went after Bill Clinton because Barbara Boxer is a distant relative of Bill Clinton. Her daughter had married Hillary's brother, and so she had some real issues with Lieberman. Even that did not ultimately cast a spell on that friendship, that wouldn't let that friendship continue. So Madam Huffington must know that you can't measure Barbara's current position vis-a-vis Lieberman with where she really thinks about the war. She has her own views on the war. She has expressed them, and believe me, I guess she could be an embarrassment, ultimately, to Joe Lieberman in Connecticut, because if she's asked by somebody, she's not going to change her views on the war.
I think, and I just read Arianna Huffington's blog very quickly, but I think her point is, you know, no doubt they are friends, but this is a paramount issue for voters, and it is important
Thatcher Trump friendship on these matters. So, you know, whether she's right or not, I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying I think, you know, her point is that the significance of the war in Iraq is so crucial to this election that it ought to be the primary concern.
Michael Isikoff, I have a question.
Sure.
Might not Joe Lieberman be digging his own grave by announcing to all the good Democrats of Connecticut that he will not abide by their decision, but will rather depth charge the Democrats' chances in Connecticut to retain that Senate seat if he loses this? Might there be some sort of backlash against him?
Yeah, I would think there could. I would think there could. I think there a lot of voters can get a little teed off and think he's putting personal pride above the interests of the party. That's the purpose of primaries, to let the voters decide who should be the party's nominee, and you know one should buy. But that's certainly a legitimate position for voters to have. On the other hand, I guess when you're in office, like Joe Lieberman is, it's hard for you one to imagine that there's anybody else out there that can do the job.
So, I'm looking at a politician who agrees with
his honor can relate to that.
I knew you were going to close with that, Michael.
Exactly.
And Michael, I'm going to be in Washington within the next 8 or 10 days. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People are holding their convention, and they've invited me to come out and do a little bit of participating. I'm going to try to find the time to do that.
Well, let's get together while you're there.
That's exactly what I was going to tell you. I'll let you know that next week.
Okay. I will not be in town next week, but I should be in the town. Are you talking the week after?
Yeah, I'm talking the week of the 17th, whatever that is.
I should be here then.
All right. All right.
All right. Excellent.
All right. It's always good to talk to you. And watch the decisions of the courts now that same-sex marriage is being apparently pummeled in states like New York. Last place you'd think it would happen.
I got nothing for you on that one.
All right, I know, but I just mentioned it on the way out the door.
Hey, how hot is it there?
Take care.
All right, bye.
Wonder what the weather's like out there. Because
Mike
is July and August
from Newsweek,
deadly,
who meets with us every Friday morning, bright and early, in the 8 o'clock hour, and he is always well informed on the subject matters affecting the lives of international decision makers and the policies which they do. I wondered what he would say if I say the next G8 conference ought to be held in North Korea, hosted by Kim Jong.
Kim Jong Il. Yes. The brother of mentally ill. Now they're saying, there was a rumor today that I read it. I can't remember where I got this, but apparently the missile was supposed to go to Hawaii, the one that fell like 42 seconds into its flight.
Oh, by the way, it was not 42 seconds. They've now gone back and checked the tape.
Oh, no.
7 seconds.
Oh, no.
Oh, like many of my friends who are patients of Pfizer.
Oh, 7 seconds.
7 seconds.
Man, that might have hit the bunker.
Can you imagine
where they got the little mission control so they can watch it? 7 seconds up.
That's the photograph you saw. The minute the button was pushed, you saw guys scattering.
We're keeping it real here with Will and Willie at 960 The Quake. We got an excellent little contretemps coming up in our next half hour. We have Chris Payne, who's the director of Who Killed the Electric Car, and we have
Mr. Ebell, who is the CEO of the alternative voice on the question of who killed the electric car. He says it was the America consumer market.
Yeah, so we'll find out these two.
I wonder who paid him to do that ad.
Oh, you can ask him.
I will.
Myron Ebell for the Competitive Enterprise Institute will be here, along with Mr. Payne, the director of Who Killed the Electric Car, all keeping it real with Will and Willie.
Kind of work their way down the road here.
Good morning. It's 8:30 on 960 The Quake. Time for traffic in the Cron 4 Traffic Center. This time brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. Save money, energy, and the environment. Sunnyvale, 101 southbound, going to east, 237. There's a crane that's having to upright or fix a big rig tanker truck that's stuck in the mud. Estimated time now been pushed back to 9 a.m. But the backup, I guess we gave everyone enough warning. Backup and problem around there, not a big deal at the moment. Good news. 680 northbound of Vargas. Traffic break going to be run by C.H. Peter. Clear some metal in the two right lanes. Lights are on at the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza. The backup to the 880 overcross. If you want to save money, energy, and the environment, buy energy-efficient light bulbs that use up to 75% less electricity. To cut summer cooling costs, install Energy Star qualified cooling systems. For rebate details, visit FlexYourPower.org. And thanks for flexing your power. You can check real-time local traffic anytime at our website, QuakeRadio.com. It's 8:31. Happy Friday. Here's what's happening on 960 The Quake. President Bush is currently giving a news conference, press conference, in Chicago, his first ever away from Washington, D.C. since he was president. As soon as the conference is over, we'll recap the highlights and bring them to you here on 960 The Quake. Homeland Security files open for review this week showed the California officials had to deal with some bomb threats, including a recent one to the Bay Bridge, suspicious passengers on airplanes, security breaches at a Bay Area oil refinery, and there have been dozens of other incidents in recent months. Story about it in this morning's Examiner. We also heard this morning that there was a bomb threat at the Holland Tunnel in New York. Not specifically the Holland Tunnel, but some of the tunnels, whether it was ever going to happen or not, but there was an arrest made in Beirut in connection with that. Senator Hillary Clinton will do a brief press event tonight. Barbara Boxer's coming back to town. Phil Angelides will be here. A fundraiser for Angelides with Gavin Newsom at the St. Regis Hotel. An invitation-only invite. Caltrain's fast-running baby bullet service success has helped create double-digit increases in ridership on Caltrain. Downside, smaller stations on the peninsula that are being bypassed by the bullet trains have actually lost riders steadily over the past 2 years, and the mayors of those cities affected are banding together to lobby Caltrain for more funding and try and figure out how to get more train service to their town. The tailgating at tonight's Oakland A's game will take on a special purpose. Fans will be making it known that they would like the team to remain in Oakland. There's a rally planned at 5 o'clock in the B parking lot. The new owner, Lewis Wolf, has been exploring options involving a move to Fremont. And then there'll be an in-stadium demonstration tonight at some point. The nature of that, we don't know. Quake weekend weather, sunny, nice on the coast today and tomorrow. Still cool, though. 60s on the coast through Sunday, 70s and 80s around the bay, 90s inland. Keeping it real with Will and Willie continues. I'm John Scott on 960 The Quake.
This summer can be a difference maker for your child.
My daughter struggled with her schoolwork. But what frightened me most was that she lost her self-image and confidence. After only a few sessions with her Learning Rx trainer, that confidence came back. After just 10 weeks, she'd also increased her grades in every class.
Learning Rx is number one in learning and reading gains. We can help your student achieve twice the gains in half the time at half the cost. A cognitive skills trainer will work one-on-one with your child this summer to dramatically enhance his or her core ability to learn. Stronger learning skills through Learning Rx's fun, unique brain training produce enhanced performance, increased confidence, and a whole new set of abilities to overcome persistent learning problems. A few hours invested in training this summer can literally change the way your child learns and reads, both next year and forever.
Services are available in Walnut Creek, Pleasanton, and Fremont. For more information, call 925-416-1400.
Is your child having trouble focusing, staying on track, or paying attention? Can he play hours of video games but not complete a page of homework? At the Attention and Achievement Center, conditions including ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, auditory processing, learning and mood disorders are treated, and all without medication. Summer is the perfect time to get your child the right kind of help and better prepared for life. The center's approach is completely safe, fun, and effective with documented, proven results. With a great team of highly qualified experts, including neurologists, psychologists, speech and language pathologists, among others, they have been helping people for over 14 years with effective, proven results. Services are available in Walnut Creek, Pleasanton, and Fremont. For more information, call 925-280-9100 or visit their website at drugfreeadd.com. That's 925-280-9100 or drugfreeadd.com. And don't let another summer go to waste.
Hurry into Mattress Discounters today, where you'll always find quality brands like Sealy Posturepedic, Simmons Beauty Rest, Tempur-Pedic Pressure Relieving Swedish Mattresses, and the Sleep Number Bed by Select Comfort at everyday low prices. Plus, on approved credit, you'll get free financing for a year with no down payment, no monthly payments, and no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands, discount prices.
Have a good night's sleep for less. Mattress Discounters.
Let's eat light today.
I wish there was a place to get a sensational salad.
Oh, hey, I know. Togo's has some great salads. You know, my friend Steve said he got the best salad he has ever eaten at Togo's.
Togo's is now serving our new sensational salads. Try our new Cobb salad, Mediterranean tuna, or my favorite, the Santa Fe chicken. Roasted chicken, black bean and corn salsa, diced avocado, and cheddar cheese, all topped with chili lime tortilla strips. Try one today.
Well, what are we waiting for? I want a Togo's sensational salad.
Togo's it is.
Togo's new sensational salads. Try the new Santa Fe chicken salad. Roasted chicken, black bean and corn salsa, diced avocado, shredded cheddar cheese, all topped with chili lime tortilla strips. Or the new Mediterranean tuna salad. Albacore tuna tossed with roasted red pepper and black olive salsa on a bed of romaine and spring mix. Or even the new Cobb salad. Unique flavors and the freshest ingredients. Try a new Togo's sensational salad today.
Working Assets Wireless is the only wireless company supporting the ACLU's lawsuit against illegal wiretapping. You there, at the keyboard, this is Will.
And I'm Willie, asking you, does your wireless carrier donate 1% of your bill to progressive causes? They support progressive causes like the ACLU, the Sierra Club, and Planned Parenthood.
Go to workingassets.com/quake. Sign up today. Working Assets Wireless. Change the world on the go.
Dreaming about driving a BMW? Whether it's your first BMW or you're ready to take your current BMW to the next level, BMW Concord is the only place where you'll find a great experience through every stage of ownership. What you want is their first priority. That's why their clients are repeat clients. To receive $500 off your next BMW or to make an appointment with one of their helpful client advisors, call BMW Concord today at 888-SO-GET-MY-BMW or go to streamingbmw.com.
The Al Franken Show.
You know, this could be, globalization could be a great thing for the entire planet. This could be a lovely time, a beautiful time for people all over the world. But instead, we have these people who want to make as much money as they can.
This could be a beautiful time.
Al Franken, weekdays 10 to 1 on 960 The Quake.
Happy Friday, everybody. Keeping it real with Will and Willie here. We're watching the president. Yeah, because teachers are teaching and students are studenting. And he's in Chicago giving a press conference, and he looks very uncomfortable.
He's in Chicago. He should be uncomfortable. Are you kidding me? How do you not be uncomfortable in Chicago?
It doesn't get much cooler.
Fitzgerald is there. You know, the man who has an unenviable record, of convicting politicians for any form of corruption. That's right. Grand jury is still intact, and, you know, he's had some trouble getting Bush to talk and people in the White House, and he's now got him out. Can you see it now? He shows up at Bush's press conference. Mr. President, my name is Patrick
Fitzgerald.
And you'd watch Bush suddenly
to
say,
No.
I have a right to remain silent. I'm entitled to counsel. As a matter of fact, I think the U.S. attorney would have to read Bush his rights before he'd ask him a question at the press conference.
Yeah, but he's not under oath.
Hey, you don't have to be. Ask Martha. Are you kidding me? Yeah, that under oath stuff is, you know, highly...
All players have to be under oath, but your prospective attorney general doesn't have to be under oath. Welcome and good morning, sir. We have a guest in the studio, and his name is Chris Payne. And
nice to be
Chris,
here. Thank you.
Chris, you're the director?
Yes, I'm the director of Who Killed the Electric Car?
tell us, first of all, what is the electric car? What do you mean? That sounds like a comic strip.
It does. In fact, most people, they hear electric car, they think golf cart. Or,
that's know, right. That's right. That's right. That thing that moves you around in the airport that I'm so envious of, as I walk a mile and a half to get to my plane, somebody comes out there, beep, beep. And I look back,
yeah,
and it's,
you know, just jump in
it's some 17-year-old kid hanging out with some friends of his as they speed past me. That's an electric car.
That's what people think of them.
Yes.
But, you know, in 1990, there were huge problems in L.A. with air pollution. So the state said, hey, car makers, if you want to sell cars in California, some of those cars have to be zero-emission vehicles, electric cars. So the car makers, kicking and screaming, made several thousand, and they're supposed to make up to 1 million cars by 2006. Electric cars.
How many did they make total?
They made, you know, less than 5,000.
Well, we in San Francisco, however, were the beneficiaries.
You were.
As the city government of some of those cars. We had EV1s as part of our portfolio of cars. They actually assigned one to me.
Did you drive one?
For about a minute.
On the phone, we also have, from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, we have Mr. Myron Ebel. Mr. Ebel, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And you also have an opinion on the electric car, do you not?
Well, I think it's a great future technology, but I think it's one of those things. The electric car movie, I think, might have considered the fact of what happens when governments meddle and try to direct consumer decisions.
Well, just let me tell you, I was only joking about my experience with the electric car. It actually turned out to be one of the experimental vehicles that our Department of the Environment highly advocated, and there was fights constantly over city heads who wanted to use the electric car. Our mayor, our current mayor, won out. His EV1 stayed with us, I think, longer than anybody else's alternative fuel vehicle. And they proved to be, one, efficient, two, not at all offensive in terms of any loudness, etc., etc. They proved to be relatively comfortable, and they did perform the services. So what are you talking about, Ms. Ebel, when you say it proves what happens when government imposes upon people who are not ready to have things imposed upon them? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, the when you were in the legislature and speaker, I believe, of the House Assembly, you passed a law, gave CARB a lot of authority to decide what kind of vehicles could be sold in California. And basically what you did was you wasted a huge amount of money. I think GM, who knows how much GM invested in the EV1, but it wasn't a great success at the time. I'm sure it had lots of very nice technology in it. It should have had, given how much time and money they seem to have spent on it. But, you know, it's no more. And it's one of many. I don't want to blame you in particular. It's one of many examples where the government decides what kind of vehicle should be built.
It's
a lot of people's money into it, and it fails. Look at the Partnership for a New Generation of Vehicles. Look at the current Bush administration hydrogen vehicle.
Chris, why did it fail?
Millions of dollars.
Well, we have the director of the movie here. Why do you think the electric car failed?
Well, Martin makes a good point in a sense at the very beginning that there was not massive consumer interest in this car. But what he fails to discuss is how aggressively the oil industry and the car industry both went after these products. The oil industry set up these, they call them astroturfing, but these phony groups that would pretend that consumers hated electric cars. And they would go and they would testify in front of the legislature, in front of CARB, the very organization you mentioned, and try to convince the legislature that, oh, these cars were dangerous, they added to pollution, when in fact they were the cleanest, most advanced cars Detroit has ever come up with. And the auto industry was no better. In fact, the auto industry hired a big PR agency in Southern California to start a massive disinformation campaign to convince consumers that electric cars were not something that they wanted. So when industry gets involved like this and tries to sway consumer interest in new technology, it's very destructive.
Chris, give some of the names that are going to be used in the movie, and we're going to ask Mr. Bell to comment on his knowledge, if any, of those organizations.
Well, the Western States Petroleum Association is probably the big heavy here, and the American Automobile Manufacturers Association. These are two lobbying groups that have tremendous power in Sacramento. In fact, many people claim that their staffs are larger than the whole government staffs protecting the environment. So it's not really fair for the consumer or for the public to have their government so heavily corporately lobbied by these outside interests. I think, you know, you want to have a level playing field, Mr. Rebell, but why do you give the corporations such an unfair advantage?
Mr. Rebell?
Well, I think you've made some good arguments. I would just say the following. If they're so powerful, then why in particular did General Motors waste so much money on producing a vehicle that basically had, you know, just a few hundred of them were ever leased, a few thousand were ever built, and they gave up on it and said, well, it just isn't going to work. And I believe CARB agreed. CARB said, look, this zero-emission vehicle stuff is too we pushed it too far, and we're going to have to go back and rethink this whole program, which they did after GM had already committed to building the vehicle.
Well, it is a puzzle, and that's really the fun thing about our movie is uncovering this murder mystery of why car company would make such
a you know, murder mystery.
Yeah, the last sort of a setup for the film is like, why would they spend $1 billion, as Mr. Rebell says, to develop the most advanced car and then turn around and go after it and chase after every single car and destroy them secretly?
What do you mean?
What they would do is they would only lease these cars.
You couldn't buy one.
You couldn't buy one. They wouldn't let you buy one. And you had to know about them. I mean, you knew about Mr. Brown because...
I'm sure they came to the city, right?
Well, no, I knew about them because I had been part of the legislative team that put the original hammer to their heads in order to get there. You know, we did the same thing with seat belts. We did the same thing with airbags. We're in California. You've been ahead of everybody. And I was the author of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so on many occasions. So, yeah, I knew about it from that world. So GM was eager to have me have one of those cars in my possession as a high-profile mayor.
And a spokesperson. Yeah.
And, boy, it's great that California went after these things because, God knows, the catalytic converter and seat belts and even getting the mileage up from 12 to 24 miles per gallon, which is what happened in the 70s, wouldn't have happened without government. I mean, this is a place where government should be involved. And the electric car is another terrific example.
But you talked about all of these cars being destroyed. Ms. DeBell, do you know anything about that?
Well, I've just heard about it, you know, in the movie and then seen various accounts. One of the most plausible, and GM, I believe, has not said a lot about this, but one of the most plausible explanations is this was proprietary technology that they developed. They thought it was state-of-the-art, and they didn't want other automakers getting a hold of it. I don't know if that's true, and I have no way of finding out. But
so they would kill it?
Several different accounts, and I think the movie says something about it as well.
You remember the streetcars that got taken off the streets in the 30s and 40s, well, really in the 60s?
I saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Well, we have Who Killed the Electric Car, see? But the thing is, you know, it doesn't really have to be a conspiracy. It just has to be these incredibly poor, stupid executives. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Because now we're importing this technology from Toyota and the Prius and all these hybrid models. They're essentially the technology of the electric car.
Does the movie put a chaser on where these cars might be?
Oh.
And have you checked with Bin Laden?
Bin Laden. Well, you would think it was, because for GM to destroy basically its entire future is a huge mystery. We are going to electric drivetrains. They're just the most efficient way to do it. And the oil industry is going to try to block it every step they can because they don't want alternatives in the marketplace. If you go out right now, you buy gasoline.
What if they start developing the alternatives? What if they have a proprietary interest in solar cells and stuff like that?
Well, that would be great. But, you know, for example, in our movie, the oil industry went in and they purchased the advanced technology that made these cars go further, the nickel metal hydride batteries. Texaco came in and they purchased the stuff. And the patents, yeah, right out of Troy, Michigan. And people can say, oh, the oil industry will be very helpful in pushing this technology along, but in fact, they've just let it sit there. And now we're importing this stuff from China.
Mr. Rebell, you say that the consumer is king, but you must admit that Toyota Prius is a very popular car.
Well, you know, I think we're quickly getting into the magic carburetor kind of talk here. The hybrids are really nice technology, but you know they aren't a big hit in the marketplace, and they do get some federal support and subsidies. For instance, in the Washington D.C. area, if you own one, you can drive on the
Right, HOV lanes.
The HOV lanes, even if you're just a single driver. So, but they aren't a big hit, and the reason isn't because the technology isn't good. I suspect it's the same reason electric cars aren't a big hit. The technology can be great, but the cost is very high. You have to drive a hybrid.
Where do you live, Mystery Bill?
To pay for it. And so I think they have a future, but I don't think they're the kind of magic technology that's going to take over the world.
Mystery Bell, where do you live?
I live in just outside of Washington, D.C., in Prince George's County.
Man, you should be in San Francisco. All we see are Priuses.
Well, you know,
they're
everywhere. I don't get to come into the studio to do this interview. I'm really jealous about that.
Well, next time we're going to Willie Brown's going to be in D.C. in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be there in a couple of months. We're going to have to talk to you. Thank you for joining us, Myra Nebel from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and Chris Payne. Your movie is opening up on three different screens here in the Bay Area.
And what are those screens?
Well, it's going to be at the Clay in San Francisco and the Shattuck in Berkeley. And
It's down in the Aquarius in Menlo Park, and it's playing at the Century, I think, down in San Jose.
And perhaps the
this
Raphael
weekend.
In San Jose.
Raphael in Mill Valley. It's playing up at the Mill Valley Theater.
And it rolls out to 50 different cities next week. So please look for it. Who killed the electric car?
Helicopter. We have a great scene where we have a helicopter. We went and we found those cars in Arizona being destroyed.
Wow.
I wish I'd kept mine.
Next up, what would Willie do? Here on Keeping It Real with Will and Willie.
Predictability leads to normalcy. Normalcy is too predictable.
Step outside the norm at El Palazzo. Tacos, burritos, salads, and catering for any event with a healthy helping of attitude. Amigo. El Palazzo, where the drinks are rocking and the nightlife is...
And call me Sally.
Hot.
Submitted for your approval.
7 nights a week. Anything goes.
Or cater it.
Thank you. You've been a great audience.
El Palazzo. Come on down to El Palazzo off of 580 in Hoffyard or online at elpalazzo.net.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest 5-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-52-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-52-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-52-GO-WIN. Call now.
Join KKSF this summer at the East Bay Regional Park District's Fresh Tracks Hiking Program. Every third Saturday through September, KKSF and the Park District will host a leisurely hike in an East Bay park, followed up by Awenty Vineyards catered lunch and live KKSF jazz performance. To find out more on this great program, visit ebparks.org.
Owning a BMW is the ultimate driving experience, and buying one is too at BMW Concord. At BMW Concord, there's no pressure to buy, only great experience and great deals. Our client advisors will listen to what you want and help you find it. With the largest selection of BMWs in the Bay Area, BMW Concord makes buying your next BMW a breeze. If we don't have the BMW of your dreams, we'll find it for you. For $500 off any new BMW, call 888-SO-GET-MY-BMW or go to StreamingBMW.com.
It's the ultimate summer escape.
Live like the rich and famous.
You and nine of your friends in the beautiful foothills of Northern California on board a luxury houseboat. This deluxe forever houseboat features a 500-square-foot deck and a water slide.
Who is this guy?
I'm just a cheesy impersonation.
Winners also get a $200 grocery gift card and money for gas.
It's the perfect escape.
Click on the banner on your screen now or log on to winasummergetaway.com.
Live like the rich and famous.
Courtesy of Forever Houseboats.
the San Jose Grand Prix, presented by Taylor Woodrow, July 28th through 30th. 3 days of festival fun and racing. Catch all the action of Northern California's most spectacular motorsports event. The San Jose Grand Prix has doubled its bridge capacity, improving the on-track viewing while creating a safer, smoother, wider track for more speed and passing. More bridges. More viewing. More passing. More fun. It's more than a race. The San Jose Grand Prix is sponsored by Taylor Woodrow Home and proudly supports the Canary Foundation. To buy your tickets now, call Ticketmaster or visit sjgp.com.
There's too much crap on the radio, but if you want real solutions for real people, listen to Keeping It Real with Will and Willie on 960 The Quake. I'm Bill Press, and that's no BS.
What would Willie do?
Every day we ask an unrehearsed question of the former mayor of San Francisco, the former Speaker of the House, the state of California.
And, of course, we had the guest, Chris Payne, who was the director of the movie Who Killed the Electric Car. And this was all based on some legislation that happened here in California. I don't know if you had anything to do with that legislation, but what I am going to ask, oh, and by the way, there's a special EcoTalk this Sunday at noon where Betsy Rosenberg is going to deal with the electric car, so please listen to that, Sunday at noon, EcoTalk. But what would Willie do in order to change the atmosphere in Sacramento right now and make it more electric car friendly? How do you get this back? We obviously lost it. How do you get it back?
Well, you really do it with dedicated, focused, quality leadership, as Byron Scheer provided when he served in the legislature, as Alan Cerotti of many years ago provided when he served in the legislature. Term limits have robbed us of all of that kind of talent. Because if you're only there for 6 years, you don't even have time to become familiar with Chris, to become familiar with Mr. Ebell, to become familiar with the disguise that the various industries employ in order to mislead you in your quest for knowledge about subject matters of interest. When we proceeded to do the number with reference to the airbags and the seat belts, it was necessary for us to challenge the industry, the automakers, the auto distributors, and we had almost nobody on our sides. We found Mercedes-Benz trying to market to get a larger share of the market by talking about how safe their vehicles were. We used Mercedes-Benz as our only reference point for that purpose. Then we found an insurance company who was smart enough to say, I will give you reduced rates if you, in fact, allow this to occur. We would not have been able to do that without skilled, relatively experienced, principal old-timers holding the seats. I would eliminate term limits and go back to the time when you could recruit a Stanford professor, when you could recruit someone from, let's say, MIT or Caltech or places of that nature who would want to make the legislature a career. Eliminate term limits. You get career politicians who then, in many cases, will become formidable opponents for people like Mr. Ebell and all of those who will disguise the protections that should be afforded the environment.
And that's what would Willie do.
So you need that institutional memory and that power.
You do.
Okay, definitely. Next hour, we got a lot coming up. We got Michelle from Queer Channel and Congressional Congressman George Miller, keeping it real, Will and Willie, 960.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You